for the players.
I'm Ryan Betson.
I'm Max Cooper.
And this is For The Players, the pop culturist PlayStation podcast. With over 40 years of playing PlayStation and like 10, 15 years in that games media combined, I'd like to thank you for joining us in this PlayStation conversation.
This PlayStation conversation happens every Tuesday morning at 8 a.m. on podcast services, including Apple Podcasts and Spotify, and 9 a.m. on those YouTubes. If you'd like to take part in future conversations with us, you can come check out our socials, Facebook, Discord, Instagram, X. Those links can be found in the description below.
If you want to join the conversation as it happens, head over to twitch.tv/thepopculturist. We watch us record this show live, where you can jump in the chat and become part of the show. If you want to support the show, you can tell your friends, tell your family about this PlayStation pod. If you are listening to us on podcast services, be sure to give us a 5-star rating and a written review. If you watch us on YouTube, be sure to like, subscribe, comment below. I endeavor to answer every single comment. And if you want to support us financially, can at patreon.com/thepopculturists. Man, it's a big week. Big week in Betson Town.
That's not fucking happening anytime soon. I got distracted. The Marathon Cryo Archive map is now available.
Oh, cool.
It's their endgame map.
Oh, wow.
But entry requirement is unlock all faction and reach level 25.
No. Nah. Nah, not yet. But it is big, big week in Betson Town, Max Cooper, in that... Oh, I think we talked about it in the past. So I mentioned that Phoebe and I, we've been trying to have a child for a window of time, and we had some unsuccessful thing. You know, some things happened last year, over the last couple of years. And then we went into the IVF route. Well, this week is the week. So Phoebe has been stabbing herself with like all kinds of bullshit all week leading up to now. And then we go in at sometime later this week to extract the eggs, and I've got to pound it into a cup. I like how I made her sound so much more like high end and prestigious and monumental, because it is comparatively. She has to get fucking day surgery. I just got to, you know, jerk it.
It's just another Tuesday for you.
That's the other thing. What made me laugh is. Because
Do you have to save yourself?
Well, that's the thing. We're in now. Don't touch Willy time. You know, please do not touch Willy. The old Simpsons joke, which
you like peeing hands free now, just in case.
Look, not gonna lie.
You're just gonna sit down, wee for the rest of the week.
It's gonna be tough. But no,
can't wear shorts because I'm the slight breeze.
It's no shorts. So that is this week. It is very funny. Don't touch Willy thing made me giggle like for way longer than it should have when I thought of it. But that's exciting times. Exciting times. So we'll find out. Thank you. We'll find out in a couple of weeks whether it's all, you know, good, bad, or otherwise. But we are certainly hoping for good news. Good luck. Thank you, Mute. Much appreciated. That should be cool. Should be very, very cool. Because, you know, one day we'll hope to welcome another person into our house. But you welcomed a new little thing into your house this week. Not a baby. Just put it out there. After the previous conversation, not a baby.
Yeah, we have a Kevin now.
Yeah, not a baby. He's a Kevin.
See, Kevin. Yeah, so we adopted a little kitten for the kids. Mm-hmm. So far, so good. We got him I went and picked him up Friday morning while one child was at school and the other child was at his grandparents' house. So they came home to kitten. Ollie is okay-ish about it. Ollie's not a morning person. And Kevin likes to have cuddles in the morning. And Ollie's just like, fuck off. He was kicking him off the couch and being a real asshole. Ollie also throws a lot of shit at him.
Mm.
But like trying to play with him.
So because he hasn't worked out.
He'll throw a ball with the bell in it, but instead of throwing it like past him or near him, he'll fucking peg it at the poor kitten.
Yeah.
So the kitten took a fucking squishmallow to the bod the other day and was just lying there underneath this fucking soft plushie. And because we've got floorboards in our house, we got one of those fucking ribbon cat toys. Ollie will like flail it in his face until he grabs it, and then we'll just instantly like yank it away, so the kitten just goes fucking sliding across the floor.
And how is Kevin with being whipped?
He's fine when he's had when he's had enough. He jumps through the baby gate, and then Ollie's stuck and can't get through.
Oh, good! They worked out the gate. Perfect.
Then he goes and hides under Ollie's bed.
Yeah. Since I still love you, Ollie, but I'm in your room, but I just need my time.
So Hadley's really good with him, though. Hadley's like, you know, I'm like, if he needs to chill, like if he walks away from you, just leave him, like let him be. If he wants to play, he will come over. He's a bit of a biter. He's a toe biter. If you don't pay attention, I fucking kicked him last night because he scared the shit out of me because I was sitting at my desk and I keep forgetting we have a pet in the house now.
Yeah.
So something brushed up against my leg and made me shit my pants. So I like reflexively fucking kicked out and poor Kevin just like fucking copped it.
Is he all right?
Yeah. He climbed on the back of the desk and came up through underneath the monitors. I'm like, yes. Approach me that way.
Yeah, Kevin, feel free. You can sit anywhere on the desk, not under the desk. On the desk is fine.
Yeah, no, it's been good. The kids are having fun. So, and yeah, the cat is graciously not skittish and will kind of put up with their bullshit.
That's good.
Which is nice.
No, but the thing that popped us that made us chuckle is he looks like a little Charlie, like our little ginger cat. Oh, our little ginger cat, he's chonky as hell, and he's like 11 years old. But so when I showed the picture to people, she's like, oh my God, it's little Charlie. Because, you know, yeah, he's 12 now. 12 now. Either way, he's an old cat. But yeah, so no, it's cool. Because, yeah, having a cat is awesome. Like, you know, I talk a lot on here and in general about my son's love and affection for Charlie. You know, his computer is, you know, he's wrapped in stickers of Charlie. It's Charlie everything. So I do hope that Kevin, which is also such a dope name, and
Kevin was the name that it came with. And like, I was talking to one of my friends the other night. He's like, did you name him Kevin after the Minion? I'm like, yeah, sure. Fuck it. Like, that kind of makes sense.
Gross. And I hate that. Minions. Your kid does love Minion though, but Minion's a poo. And then in the chat, Reverend Puck brought in the Reddit thread r/oneorangebraincell. And that is true. And that is fucking correct. I can see the moment where Charlie goes and whatever's left of his consciousness goes into like another cat somewhere. And then they get to think about something for a while because Charlie just goes, and it just goes complete fucking vacant face. And then, you know, chaos ensues for the next like 45 minutes. So yeah, I do hope that like Kevin and Charlie get to share some brain cell for a while. That'd be nice. But yeah, though having a pet in the house is really cool. And like you've had your little budgie.
Yeah. So Kevin found him yesterday.
Yeah.
He climbed up the clothes horse and sits and just stares at the fucking bird in the cage.
Yeah. And Jerry's okay with this?
And Jerry just mugs him off. He's like, you can't fucking get to me, buddy.
Okay, good. So Jerry's not like freaking out, not like panicking or anything.
No.
And what about Allie? Because I know Allie, I assume...
Jess and Kev are fine.
Jess and Kev.
Jess and Kev. The most Aussie fucking names.
Kevin Jerry. You've just created a cartoon in your house, Kevin Jerry.
Yeah, it's not Tom and Jerry. It's Kevin Jess.
Yeah, Kevin Jess. What about your lovely wife, Ellie? I assume she was a part of the planning, but yeah, is she pro Jerry, not pro Jerry, pro Kevin?
She's not pro Jerry much. No,
I think she's never been pro Jerry.
yeah, she's pro Kevin.
Everyone's pro Kevin. But outside of that, like, what's been going on, my dude? Anything else happening?
Not really. Not really. It's been a chill week, actually.
Yeah, look, I'm about the same. Well, whenever, because like we're recording on a Monday today, because we just kind of went, yeah, fuck it. And we had other shit to do on a Sunday night. So it always throws me out because now I'm in the new week. And then I have to remember, like, what have we done this week? I'm like, but it's been one day, Ryan. I'm like, yes, Ryan, think back more than fucking 24 hours. So like my week was pretty good from memory. I remember not too much went down. Saturday, though, I did get to do a wrestling show at a literal Renaissance fair place. So there's a place here in Victoria, in Ballarat, called Chiral Castle. It is a theme park, but like park in the true sense of the word, not like roller coasters and shit. So like it's got a big castle frontage. You walk up, you go through this little maze.
It's kind of like a permanent Renfair location.
Permanent Renfair, I guess. Yeah, you can like, there's accommodation, you can go and stay. And there's, so we did this big wrestling show in the jousting area, the courtyard. I got to dress up in some bullshit squire outfit. That was cool. It was kind of fun. And it was the King of the Castle tournament. Was the name, because King Clash at the Castle's taken, King of the Ring is taken, you know, all these different monikers are all kind of taken away. But and that was fun. Just something, another little silly thing to put, you know, on my hat, in my quiver, which is themed appropriately. But while I was off doing that, so we'll get jumped in the section talking about what we've been playing. While I'm off doing wrestling things, Max, you spent two evenings in a row playing Ghost of Yotei Legends with my lovely partner Phoebe.
It's like a medieval LARP.
Yeah, like a big LARPing place. Yeah, but not like But it's a tourism, rather than like people getting together in fantasy shit and fighting in a park.
It was more than two nights in a row. I think I played...
No, with her you played twice, yeah. But you have played more.
So Phoebe and I jumped into Ghosts of Yotei Legends mode.
You jumped in with Phoebe, you essentially went in and cleared the whole thing. You're like, I want an understanding of what
I have one boss left to do. I have the snake left. The snake is the only one I haven't beaten. Noodle and I were in the midst of it, and I unfortunately lost track of time. I had to leave for work, and Ollie was losing his shit. I'm like, I've kind of got to go. I mean, we haven't gone back since. I've played. At the moment, there are four story, like co-op story campaigns to do. So one for the snake, the Oni, the Kitsune, and the spider.
Mm-hmm.
Leaving the dragon and the other one. They will be the raid when it drops next month.
Yep.
So the mission structure is set up as a chapter one, chapter two, chapter three. And then it's the boss incursion. So chapter one of each of the Yotei six will be, will introduce you to a mechanic.
Mm-hmm.
Chapter two will introduce you to a new mechanic. Chapter three will fuse and you'll have to use both mechanics to get through it. And then chapter four is you fight the boss. You've reached his stronghold or their stronghold and you are taking them down. Each of them are kind of cool, so it follows on that supernatural path that the first Legends did. So they are all like demonic, devilish. The spider is a literal spider now. Oni has no head, he's just like this big tank of a dude. The Kitsune's essentially like a devil fox, which is really cool, like a demon fox, which is really cool.
The spider
unfortunately is not an the snake is not is unfortunately not an actual snake.
That'd be cool.
but it's cool, so it kind of, you know, teaches you some new stuff, gives you a little bit more background on what they're, you know, why they are the way they are type thing. Gives you a little bit of extra story, which is nice. There are four character classes. There is the samurai, the shinobi, the mercenary, and the archer. So the samurai, the archer, and the shinobi, I believe, are carried over from the first Legends game. The mercenary was called the Ronin in the first one. They have now scrapped that and gone with mercenary. Most of their abilities are pretty much the same from the first Legends. They have made some tweaks and some small changes. You no longer, the mercenary or the what was the artist formerly known as the Ronin no longer has the global revive that it used to have.
Which that was one of your big, like, tactics.
It was your super move. It was, hey, I can spend all of my everything I have and I can revive everyone on the map if they're down. And that's who I used to play. I used to play the support role when I played with my friends originally in Legends. I am now at the moment playing the Archer. I am rank 19. Damn. 25 is the maximum rank at the moment. I am currently sitting at a gear score that allows me to do the hard level of mission. So it starts off at like easy, then normal, hard, and then expert or whatever their version of that is. And then you just get random gear at the end of each either mission. If you're doing missions, you will get them at the end of survival. At the end of survival, once you do the four waves of survival, which is essentially just a round base, defend the points. Enemies just keep spawning in. And then, yeah, next month, I believe, is when the raid will release. I would imagine it'll be on similar par as the first game, where you will need a gear score of a minimum 100 to gain access to it. So I'm well on my way to that. I think my gear score is 69. Nice. but yeah, it's super fun. It's super fun. So the co-op story missions are two-player. And then when you get to the incursion point or the boss fight, it's like, hey, you can have up to four if you want. If you want to match make some randoms in, feel free. So with Phoebe, we did that. I gave her the option. I'm like, hey, we can do it if you want. The drawbacks to having two extra people are there are more mobs in the map itself, and the boss has more health. So there's more people to deal with, boss has more health, but there's two extra bodies to just, like, die so you don't type thing.
Yeah.
or we can do it two man. When I play with Noodle, we have two manned everything so far. And it hasn't been too, like, overly difficult. All the survival ones are up to four players. If you want to do it with less, you can. I wouldn't recommend it. It's pretty intense. And yeah, it's just been good fun. So we played Saturday night while you were away. And after about two rounds, my PlayStation decided that it didn't want to connect to the PlayStation network servers anymore. And it's like, hey, you don't have PlayStation Plus anymore. Yeah, your account's not even in the same region as the game you're trying to play. And I'm like, okay, that's weird. I'll sign out of this account and use my personal account. And it's like, you don't own any of your games. We can't verify that you own any of your games, and we can't reach the servers to ping them to make sure that you actually own them. So I'm just like, I just cracked the shit. I told Phoebe, I'm like, look, I'm really sorry, I can't play anymore. She's like, I get it. If you didn't want to play with me, you could have just said and I'm like, no, I actually legitimately want to play this. But it's fucked, so I'm going to bed.
And what was the problem?
I don't know. I literally got a message saying something went wrong. I'm like, yes, something has gone wrong.
Yeah, quite.
And then I turned it off, and then the next day it worked perfectly fine with no issues.
Weird.
So I think it was literally just like...
The Reverend Puck in the chat brings it up. The problem was you had your PlayStation set to Oz, as in AUS, but it transitioned into Oz, as in OZ. And that's what happened.
So it seemed like it was just a... Wasn't pinging the server correctly on my end. Because I'm like, I have played some PlayStation Plus till Christmas of this year.
Yeah.
Like, there's no way it's expired. Like, this is bullshit. And then, yeah, it was working the next day. So I must have just been having some server issues, which is fine. But it's solid. I'm really hoping that I'm assuming that the raid will probably incorporate a lot of like all the mechanics that the co-op story has so far.
Mm. Yeah, that has been interesting. So watch it, because I obviously didn't watch Saturday night because I was off at the, working the wrestling show. But Sunday night, I was so I was thinking about it on my phone, but I was also watching as you went, and there were some really cool like traversal mechanics I saw, like you're like yeeting yourself with almost like a portal-esque teleporter.
Yeah, so what one of the Kitsune missions allows you to teleport to certain locations, so you use the power of the fox to warp yourself, which is really cool. And like I said to Phoebe, I'm like, it plays very differently to the single player mode. Like, it's a lot more fast-paced. I'm like, don't feel bad if you go down. Like, it's not an
issue.
Because
she died a lot. Which is to be expected, because like I'm watching her. Like,
it's just, yeah.
And I'm like, this shit's going everywhere. Like, there's fucking always people.
And like, it's really hard to remember because you have access to a lot of the abilities. It's like, oh yeah, I can still change weapons. Like, I still have three of the four weapon types that I can swap into. Like, and you often forget about doing that. Or it's like, hey, I forgot that my character has a character skill that I can just spam over and over and over again. Or ammo is a big one for online multiplayer. So Phoebe's playing an archer because she's like, I kind of want to just sit back, play a bit safe. I'll use range. I'm like, that's fine. But
heads up,
ammo is a really scarce resource in multiplayer.
Yeah.
And if you want to play like that, you have to build around it. So because the gear is all randomized, each piece of gear will come with a perk, but you until you get to like the later stages where you can re-roll those perks and spend resources to do that, you kind of have to just go with whatever it gives you. You just pick the highest piece of gear and you just go for it. But I'm getting to that point now where I'm like, I'm re-rolling my gear to try and find that perfect stat. So at the moment I'm focusing, like, even though I'm playing an archer, I'm focusing on perfect parry damage, heal on perfect parry.
So that way when they do get up in your business,
increase perfect parry window, like all that stuff. Whereas Phoebe will want a lot of pieces of gear that is like essentially like a scavenger perk, where it's like, using this will give you ammo. Using this will give you ammo. Enemies have a chance to drop ammo on death. Like at rank 20 as an archer, you have I think it's like a 60% chance to have your ammo refunded if you land a headshot.
Ooh,
it really builds into it, but you've got to find those right pieces of gear, unfortunately, to get to that.
Mm.
But yeah, it's good fun. Like, it's all and it's a fucking free update. Like,
so I was gonna say, comparing it to Tsushima, which you did spend quite a substantial amount of time in, because you enjoyed it so much, do you see you just doing the same here?
I have a feeling that once I've run the raid, I probably won't stick around. But if anyone's like, hey, I'm thinking about doing the raid, I'll be like, okay, I'm there.
Yeah, okay.
Much like I did with Ghost of Tsushima Legends. Like, a couple of my friends bought it, I think it was at the back end of last year, and they're like, hey, we're going to do the raid. Do you want to come? I'm like, I will come and Sherpa you.
Yeah.
I'm like, I won't give away any of the mechanics or anything, but I'll just come and I'll play the support role. I'll play the healer and I'll, that's what I do.
Nice. are there any negatives?
Not at the moment. They've added this cool little, I don't think I mentioned it last week when I was talking about it either. They've added this cool little hub area before missions. So in the original Legends, it was all just menus until you spawned into the mission. There is a little like staging area where you can go and do bamboo cutting against your friends, and they have a high score.
A little social space.
You can go play the fucking coin flicky game. But yeah, there's a little social space and there's like a little tutorial area in there. So it's like, this is how you most efficiently kill this type of enemy. This is how you most efficiently kill this type of enemy. And then you can spawn them in and kind of like practice against them and whatnot.
Hmm.
So far there hasn't been, it's more of the same. I'm bummed out that the Ronin doesn't have its healing abilities anymore, but it is what it is. It was pretty overpowered.
Not too bad at all. Very cool. Well, speaking of new PlayStation games, I haven't jumped into it too much. However, I did receive a code this week for MLB The Show 26, whatever, I think it's 26, whatever year this is. I jumped in, did what I normally do, which is we make myself in the game. This time it was done by Phoebe because she has the better skill for it. Because like the fun part for me, and I've done this for as long as I've played the show, how closely can I get it to look like me and then consistently look like me?
I was going to say, do they not have the NBA thing where you can scan your face with the app?
You can. They do have the face. Look, it is connected through to the app, which I did because I didn't ask for a code this year. I didn't expect it. So I deleted the app off my phone. I'm like, oh, I've not used it in a little while. I'll delete it. And then shit, you know, like the next day the code came in. I was like, oh, I appreciate it, PlayStation Australia, but I did not ask. And thank you because I was actually really quite keen to go back to it.
It's like that. Apart from wrestling, it's the one annualized game that you kind of really get.
Yeah,
into.
That's very true. WWE is like my big annualized game, but my love of wrestling stems in the last what year are we?
26. We just
eight years. I get. Well, shit, that's a really long time. In the last like 6 to 8 years, wrestling has been that big thing for me, right? First show in 2018, and then I really fell in love with it from 2019, sort of to where I am now. But baseball has a longer love for me. So, like, baseball came into my life when I was working at McDonald's while I was studying at university. So, like, was that 2000? We graduated 2007, so 08. 09, probably 2010. So the last 16 years, I guess. And like, granted, I've not been watching as much since I've moved to Geelong. So it's like, you know, 10-ish years. But yeah, it started when I was working overnight at McDonald's. There wasn't much, you know, it wasn't much to do when you're just kind of cleaning up and doing whatever. So I'd have the TV on in the staff room, and it would, the only thing that was really on at that time of night was sport. So they had this channel at the time, a subsidiary of Channel 10. It was One, and the idea was this is just like sports and shit and other random stuff. So I started watching baseball overnight, and it was really cool, and I got into it really quickly, and then I started to like understand the rules and all the little idiosyncrasies, and I found players that I liked, which then got me a team that I followed. And I, you know, at the time, because I was working a lot of overnights, so I was able to follow the games and listen to them live or watch them live because they, you know, happen while I'm asleep. So, yeah, I became a Detroit Tigers fan, particularly around a couple of players that no longer play. It was Prince Fielder, Justin Verlander, and Miguel Cabrera, like the three that made me go, holy shit. And then I just followed that team. So since like the show 2013, I think, which coincidentally I think did have Miguel Cabrera on the front cover. Maybe a little bit later. I have been playing them near on every year since 2013. So to answer your original thing that I tangented myself on, Max, yes, like it is my secondary like annualized game that I play real intensely when it comes out, and then I kind of just dip into it every like once a month. I'll come in, I'll play like for a couple of days, and then sort of wander back off again. And normally I do that with the road to the show. So that's where I, you know, make myself and I put myself into a career. I start up in high school. And this year I made a slight change in my choices. Previously I just tried to get drafted straight out of high school. I'm like, yeah, let's just go straight in, go from there, don't worry about it. This year I chose to go to college. There was a couple of different colleges that I had to choose from because I didn't have the settings too extreme.
Look at you, you fancy college boy.
Oh, I know, right? So Yeah, because I had the difficulty, like, not super hard. I was just like, I just want to have some fun. So I got...
So you got an arts degree.
Yeah, pretty much. And everyone was kind of... All the schools were like, yeah, come play for us. Come be with us. I ended up going with one out of California. What was it? What are some of the prestigious, like, universities? Not Harvard, because that's, like, the other side.
Stanford, no.
Whatever the one in California is. I went to that one because it had
Berkeley.
No, it was like there are different ratings that they use to sort of how they help you. Either way, I picked that one. And then I stayed in college, and then I got the ability to be drafted again in my sophomore year, I guess. And then I went, nah, I'll do another year of college. Because the decision was we didn't win the championship that year. I'm like, I'm going to finish college with a fucking win. So I chose to do another year at college, which MIT was, I think, no, was it MIT? I don't remember. It's one of them. But yeah, so I chose to stay in college. And you don't like play Stanford. That's the one, Stanford.
I said that.
Did you? My apologies. Was it Stanford then?
I was like, Stanford?
Maybe it was Stanford. I'm getting caught in the weeds, Ryan. Back out. So, yeah, you don't actually, like, play your career while you're at the colleges. It kind of just skips ahead some time. But what it does is it gives you some additional benefits in the background. So by choosing to do so, there are some perks you'll get from various schools and which one you select. So for myself, one of the things I find upon retrospect, I tend to really not pick properly is like my speed, particularly my plate speed. So once I get on base, like how quickly I'm running around the diamond, right? So the reason I picked possibly Stanford or whatever the other school was, that's the one I'm trying to think of, the main reason was because they had bonuses for speed. I was like, fantastic. Yeah, and then I ended up getting drafted. The game does ask you, yeah, I don't think it wasn't Harvard, so it must be Stanford. Sorry, in the chat. Cal State. I don't think it was Cal State. I think Cal State is an option. I'm getting caught in the wrong spot again. Yeah, so
Nick Minnie, he's like, actually, I was just at UCLA, my bad.
UCLA is an option, and I chose not to take it. Because they were the other option. I was like, oh my God, there's a lot of Californian schools. Yeah, so because the game asks you, like, what's your preference, right? Like, where would you like to possibly end up? And I was like, well, I like Detroit. The answer would be Detroit, right? So the game kind of gives you the benefit. It goes, hey, you know, you got picked for Detroit. Like, last year, I intentionally let it pick for me, and I just went, whatever, and I ended up playing for the Marlins, I think. So yeah, I'm down in the Triple A's with the Erie Seawolves, doing an okay there. I'm still a shortstop, so I'm in that position between third and second base, mostly because I find it's the one that's the most interesting, like, gameplay. The game has, visually, it's interesting. There are some times where it looks immaculate. My dear God, that's awesome. And then you look at some plays, especially a lot of plays in the Triple A's and the Double A's and the minor leagues.
Like when it zooms in on Shohei Ohtani, it's just like schmick as, and then everyone else looks like arsehole.
Exactly. Looking like utter garbos, right? And then those top players, fantastic. But the arenas are the same too. Like, it's really bizarre. So the gravel that the diamond's on, it looks kind of like a really flat and boring texture. But if you go into the free cam and you zoom in, you realize that it's very highly detailed, same as the grass. So it kind of looks less poly until you zoom in and then you realize it looks really fucking good. You're like, that's... So it kind of like throws you off a little bit, or at least threw me off. But yeah, no, it plays the same in like the best way. I haven't I have not taken a look at all the other sides, like their story modes, etc. There is the Negro League has returned for the fourth year in a row, which is cool. The Diamond Dynasty is still there. I haven't jumped into that one either. Just because I know the card stuff normally gets my attention, and I wanted to really get into it last year, and I kind of didn't. Outside of just collecting the cards and building my collection, but not actually playing in the game. Very similar to WWE with my faction, which I learned the beginnings of, and then I quickly phase away. But similar to that, as I punch the microphone, we're discussing about the top people get the best treatment and so on. Wrestling is the exact same. WWE is the exact same. Those of like higher value, like your Seth Rollins, Roman Reigns, CM Punk, etc., like they look fantastic. Everyone else doesn't. But one thing that is cool that I hadn't really done until this year was we also did the beginnings of a Road to the Show with Phoebe as the playable character. Because you can create a female, although there is not like a dedicated women's major league teams and or whatever. Unlike here in Australia, we have the WAFL. That doesn't exist per se. So it just kind of becomes like intergendered teams. You can really tell that they've spent many years building the character creator to be around men, because every option was, dear God, a very masculine man, woman. But I'm sure with some additional tweaking you can get there. It's just very... I don't know. Just really small, strong, masculine. But the intricacy of the creator is as extensive as ever. So you really could go in and sort of like soften it up a little bit and get it. We just didn't really do it with the time that we had allocated to it on over the weekend. But I'll play with it some more. I'm expecting more of the same. I'll be like, yep, it's more baseball. I'm loving it. Not sure what changes there are and what aren't, because it just feels the same. But it's really, really quite good. But speaking of being really quite good, though, Max, I have joined you in the team of finishing Resident Evil 9 Requiem. Did it over the weekend. Finished the first ending just before I left the wrestling. Did the second one on Sunday. Because you just go back, as you said, go back and do it again. We will have a more, I guess, super in-depth discussion, spoiler complete, just going to town on it, with our good friend Fid McAwesome. He's going to jump in. We're going to do an extra chat on it. But I ended up doing it, according to the counter, 9 hours and 47 minutes, like 9 hours, 40-something minutes. So what were you, like 8 hours something?
Yeah, just over 8 hours, I think.
Yeah, because I was like, I talked about it last week, about there was that window of time where I kind of got lost in the mansion, not the mansion, the care center, because I didn't realize the spanner that I had was of a square shape that could use to open a door. I was trying to look for a replacement wheel to open the door, couldn't find it until I went, oh, that. And that was about 45 minutes of me just like looking in every possible room. And then it started going. We won't get into too much of the spoilers, just because I said the spoiler chat is coming. But Max, previously you mentioned that, the game is sort of set up into like there's the intro setting, which kind of sets it up. Then you've got Area 1, which is the care center. And then Area 2, which these are all in the marketing. That is Raccoon City. And the third one, we will not discuss because that's very spoilery. But to continue and to build on what I was mentioning last week, the ability to play between the two characters and in the two different types, this is, in terms of capturing all the ways to play that it looks at the past and goes, we are all of these things. For those of you that love Resi for its psychological horror, boom, we got you that. If you want the bombastic action, we have that too. And we're going to do it in such a way that you get to enjoy both at separate times. It breaks up the monotony. It feels really, like, it does feel weirdly cohesive, even though we've, as we found out this week, or the original pitch for Requiem was a multiplayer co-op experience. So you can sort of see where the bones of that are. But yeah, I think it handled really well.
They realized how shit Resident Evil 6 was.
Yeah, I think,
and they're,
yeah,
like, let's not fucking do that again.
Let's not do that. But there are, each character, being Grace or Leon, do really have their moments to shine. Like the first area, the care center, Grace's through and through. Leon gets the dick about in there as well, but they're much shorter experiences. And then Raccoon City is predominantly Leon, and a little bit less, and a little bit, little bits of Grace. Makes sense. They're kind of their zones, right? Their areas. And then the end's kind of the interesting mix of both. But yeah, no, I enjoyed the second section, the more action-y sort of setup. I heard the comparison used, and I it's pretty bang on, very Last of Us Part 2 feeling out of that second area with Leon. I'm like, okay, yeah, I can see a little bit of inspiration, a little bit of that, just the way you traverse and the way it's all set up, and it's cool. I like it. I enjoyed the environmental storytelling of Raccoon City as you sort of come in and, you know, there are zombies and Leon's like, why are there zombies here? Because, like, this place should be eviscerated. So then you kind of, you immediately get the feeling that, like, something else is going on here, which is pretty much all the time in Resident Evil. There are great flashbacks and throwbacks that I feel are mostly earned. There's nothing makes me go, oh, why'd you do that? Like, I, being a much newer fan, I guess, to Resi in general, when they're like, oh my God, I know that. And like being a walk around, you know, RPD again and be like, oh my God, yeah, holy shit. Oh, fuck. Yeah, nice. You know, that was really fun as a newer fan. But, yeah, I kind of waxed lyrical a lot about it last week. My thoughts are mostly the same. I have uninstalled it. I was originally considering, like, going for the trophs. But, or even running it again, I'm like, I don't think I'm going to have time to in the near future. So what if I, like, I'll uninstall it. We can always go back, and then maybe I can then do like a ribbon one with a ribbon run, or an insanity one if I'm feeling insane, or going in and like unlocking some of the stuff. And even if I run it again under classic mode, that should give me enough points to be able to buy like the infinite ammo and stuff and be able to go again.
How many points did you end up with when you finished the first time?
I don't remember.
I finished on 10,000, so I'm still 40,000 short.
Oh, that number. I think it was 12.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it was about 12,000, I think.
So I've worked out if I do a casual run, I can finish. All I have to do is the don't craft anything and don't use any health items.
Yeah.
And I will have enough to buy the infinite ammo, and then I'll do my insanity run.
Yeah.
And because if you play on casual, whenever you're below yellow health, you automatically heal back to yellow health after a period of time.
Well, so that's cool.
Kind of eliminates the use for and eliminates the need for healing.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's my plan. I'll do a casual mode run, get my infinite ammo, and then just fucking blast fools with the Requiem.
Yeah, it's probably the best course of action, I think. But yeah, is there anything you wanted to like share or discuss? But once again, no, I've got big chat.
I think I pretty much covered it last time because I think I had finished it last time we spoke about it.
You had, yes.
Yeah.
But before I jump into the next, is there anything you've been playing this weekend? This week, I should say, outside
no,
of
just,
Legends?
Just Legends.
Beautiful.
Just Legends.
apparently this week has been the week of getting stuff done. Because I also rolled credits on Yakuza Kiwami. You know, the challenge was laid out at the beginning, at the back end of last year, that Paul and I would eventually do Yakuza Like a Podcast. So I did. I started, rolled credits on it over the weekend after about 25-ish hours. I think it's obviously a bit longer than what like the time to beat would be, because I did kind of spend a bit of time like dicking about in the side stuff, fighting Majima whenever I could, doing a bunch of the side stories. I enjoyed it. Like, I really, really enjoyed it. The ending was weirdly very Tekken in imagery. You know, a lot of like attack helicopters in a big building, shit exploding, and like, okay. No, it kept itself reasonably grounded up until then, so I felt like...
Your grandfather turned into a supernatural being and came back to life?
Not entirely. but, yeah, like, it plays fine. I enjoyed it. It looked kind of poo, because it is a, you know, a redo of, like, a PS2 game. I can see where... Like, what has led it to become a pretty big franchise. It's still early days, but like the really, yeah, so it's the Mafia games of the East. With a little sprinkle of the silly, I have started Yakuza Kiwami 2, but just kind of like the opening section. And oh my God, is Yakuza Kiwami 2 like already a much more visually better looking game. Jesus Christ, that was crazy. It looks so good. Like the streets look so much denser. Like, it looks really fantastic. In the chat, Mute jumps in. You did get the Tiger Drop right. I got to like the second last one in terms of going with that fighting guy, the trainer, the master. But that Jinju boss fight everyone hates. Yeah, there was a boss fight. I was like, oh, it's a bit disappointing. But look, overall, I think it was really cool. Knowing where it gets to, because we had played Like Dragon a little while ago, and we really enjoyed that. So I'd be keen to get back to that point again. Because I'm also looking forward to seeing all the smaller incremental upgrades and improvements over time. Like, even just jumping into 2, the health bars are above the head of each individual enemy, rather than bottom right hand corner when you're looking at them. The menus are cleaner. Yeah, it's just a little minor changes. And then I can see it get better and better and better and better and better as we go further down the line. But yeah, outside of that, is there anything? Oh, actually, I don't know when we'll start it. Maybe it'll be the next big game for Phoebe and I to really dive into. But my good friend Will Walker, professional wrestler, we gave him a lift home after the show on Saturday, and we were just chatting about what games we've been playing, etc. He goes, oh, yeah, well, I ended up picking up Claire Obscure Exhibition 33. Didn't really enjoy it. Just kind of sitting at home. And, you know, with it winning Game of the Year last year and you giving it so much love, I was like, well, maybe I should eventually pick it up. Hadn't really seen it at a price that I was like, you know, I felt there was too much risk for me to like spend money on it. So I have borrowed it from my mate Will, which will allow me to dive in and really give it the time it likely deserves. Because I'm not being like, I spent too much money on this thing I don't like. But Max, you've played it, you finished it, you loved it. Do you think it will be a Betson game? Do you think it might just get its hooks in me somehow?
Maybe.
What are some things I should keep an eye out for things that would, you know, as you know my game appreciation?
This is my advice to you Because I want you to finish the game. The story is 100% worth seeing through.
Mm-hmm. That helps.
Play it on the easiest difficulty. And use the accessibility options for the parry.
Okay.
And the block.
Okay.
Just do it. It'll make combat trivial. But you will then get to play the story as if it's an interactive movie. Essentially.
What if I were to make the difficulty higher but still did the accessibility? Would that make it...
That'd be fine. All it does is it essentially makes the bosses more of a fucking... like a health sponge.
Because, like, I played, you know, Yakuza on easy and I didn't hate it. Like, it did make the combat kind of trivial. But, like, I enjoyed that.
Granted, like Yakuza's an action game, not a turn-based game.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. But, I mean, like, so the... In hindsight, I'm like, okay, if the combat's really good, which for like Yakuza, it's kind of fine. But for Claire, I think it's pretty well respected.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, I adore turn-based games. Like, I grew up playing like early Final Fantasy. Like, Final Fantasy X's a big one, and that's probably the best comparison to this. And it's just like... Sorry, mute's put in the chat. Daredevil's in it. Yeah, yes, the guy who plays Matt Mercer in Charlie Cox. He plays Gustav.
Gustav.
Or voice is Gustav, anyway. the story is well worth experiencing.
Mm-hmm.
So if you find that, like, obviously... turn-based combat is monotonous at the best of times, and by adding in the parry system, the block system, and the dodge system, it kind of makes you engage with combat.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're not good at that, combat will feel even more fucking tedious than it already would if you're not a fan of turn-based combat.
See, I don't hate turn-based combat, so that part's not a concern, but if there's any sort of like roadblock like that, I'm gonna immediately hate it. So okay, can you change difficulty at any time?
You can turn the accessibility options on at any given time. So if you start, like, you can...
No, because I'm going to do the accessibility options because that sounds fucked. The parry and bullshit, I don't have time for that. But yeah, parry and the block, I'm happy to increase that, but then...
I don't recall. I tend to not change my difficulties mid playthrough. I honestly don't know.
But if it would make it then playable for Phoebe as well. I say that like thing, she has a fucking smashed 2-point museum to like nowhere.
Yeah. The other thing that got me all moist in the groin area was the fact that it's got like build crafting essentially.
Yeah.
Because of the way the combat system works and how your equipment and stuff works, I kind of fell deep into like what is the best way that I can grift this.
Mm.
And like at one point for like the earlier mid game, it was literally me. My combat was automatic. I would walk in, two of my characters would explode and kill all the enemies, and my last guy would automatically revive them. And then the combat was over. And then I'd go to the next combat and they would explode again. I'd revive them and then I'd just keep going. I never had to push a button. I like just automated my combat to farm and grind.
It's pretty cool.
Like, you know, it's one of those things of like, it allows you to dive deep into it if that's what you want.
Mm.
But if you're just wanting to experience the story, chuck it on easy. Turn all the accessibility options on.
Mm.
And just enjoy it. Enjoy it as just view it as like an interactive movie.
Okay. We might go that.
Every once in a while you're doing some combat. Because realistically, you can, like, it's just essentially it would just be a grind, but you can beat any enemy with no gear, as long as you can parry. Like, it'll take a while, but you can beat everything at level 1 if you wanted to.
Mm. Okay.
Like, health is not an issue if you can land those parries.
You've reconvinced me. The answer is easy.
Yeah.
I think they might, like, because I do believe that, yeah, what will excite me about this game is the story. I'm sure I'll enjoy all the other little accoutrements and whatever, but... yeah, it's probably the story that will be the thing that has me most intrigued and most wanting to really jump into it. So, okay. Easy with accessibilities. Is there anything else that I have been playing? I don't believe so. I said you most certainly had not. No. Quick check. Nope. Yeah, because you haven't returned to Marathon or anything yet either, have you?
No, I haven't been playing any. Like I said, Yotai launched on the 10th. I've been playing nothing but that. I've been dabbling with, like, I'm still playing Pokemon Fire Red. I'm like 20 hours deep into that, and I have 3 gym badges because I keep just getting sidetracked and doing other shit. And
well, just so we don't get further sidetracked ourselves, let's get into the section we call Inform the Players. We tell you about what happened this week in PlayStation. Not a whole lot. Pretty quiet week again.
So I will start with number 5, the PS Plus additions. So new PlayStation Plus releases include Warhammer 40K Space Marine 2, Persona 5 Royal, Blasphemous 2, and you will also get MLB The Show 26 when it launches on March 17th, alongside a few other titles.
That's pretty rad. MLB being part of your PS Pluses, pretty sweet.
That makes sense because it's been a fucking Games Pass game for ages.
Mm. Well, Space Marine 2, you and I had a blast with. I never finished it. I don't think you did, but you got further than I did.
I got further, but yeah, it's great fun. Solid multiplayer game. Persona 5 Royale, one of the greatest JRPGs of all time.
I have had Persona 5 3 Royal in my wish list for years. I enjoyed the standard one, and I've wanted to go back and play it again, but I know the Royal changes things. I was like, well, maybe I'll just get the Royal one, it's on cheap. And as of yet, for whatever reason, I've never found a price that I was happy with. But yeah, like I'll bump up my PS Plus for like 2 months, and then why not? Go in there, tinker with it.
Put you on a clock, and you're more likely to.
Because I did really enjoy Persona 5. I gave a lot of shit, but I did also really enjoy it. And then I remember playing it again in 2020, and I had my character's name was Greg B. Smashing, and because that was the goal I wanted, like, see how many people he can try smash in the game. Didn't smash anyone. By the end, so I didn't quite get far enough in the game before I got distracted and sort of wandered off. But yeah, I thought the Royal would add the changes that I, you know, want to see, because it's kind of like their, speaking of Pokemon, it's kind of like their yellow version to their blue and red. It's like the same game but a little bit jazzed. They're like Persona 4 Golden before it. Blasphemous 2, I never played. Sure, why not? But one game that many of y'all may be interested to have checked out. Maybe you will now. Starfield PS5 release appears to be inevitable, with a recent statement hinting that Starfield's PlayStation 5 release is, quote, practically inevitable, end quote, the highly anticipated space RPG could finally be making its way to Sony's platform after years of exclusivity debates. And of course, this would mark a significant shift as Xbox exclusivity deals continue to face scrutiny and could even change. The expected is April, I think, is kind of the rumor mill window for Starfield. Now, I did play it for a window of time on the PC at launch. We'll kindly provide a review code. I had some... like, my issues with it are that it didn't make me stick to it. And I, you know, a lot of the complaints you hear about, like the menus and this and that, and it's not full. It felt forward for a Bethesda game, but also backwards for a Bethesda game. So I didn't really dive into it too hard. I don't remember whether you checked it out, Max.
Yeah, played it. I games passed it. That's right. And not my jam.
No.
No.
Yeah, it was a real shame because I know there was a lot of expectation going into it, but I was really hoping for a bit more flying of my ship, for one, but that really, really, really didn't happen. But yeah, April looks to be the expected time, so be curious because it will come with the Crimson Skies? Shattered Space? whatever the DLC is, it probably would likely come with that, like some sort of game of the year or collecting definitive edition or something like that will likely be in the future. And you know, the size of space is pretty expansive. It's pretty massive. But one thing that's looking to be pretty massive is a particular game that you're excited for, Max.
Yeah, so Crimson Desert is launching this week. So one of 2026's most ambitious titles, Crimson Desert, launches this week. The open-world action-adventure from Pearl Abyss has generated considerable hype and debate about whether it'll be a masterpiece or will it be a disappointment. PS5 Pro Early Analysis has called it a, quote, phenomenal experience. Physical copies require a mandatory update for full playability, which is great. I don't know why more games don't do this to avoid early leaks.
Mm-hmm.
Seems crazy. I have been following this game for the better part of what feels like about 5 years.
Yeah.
The whole time I'm like, this isn't coming out. This looks too good to be fucking true. I guess I will find out this week if that is the case.
Well,
Digital Foundry got pretty much full access to it. They got a PC code and they got a PlayStation 5 Pro with the game pre-installed on it.
Mm-hmm.
My understanding is there has been a bit of backlash this week because they announced that DeNovo DRM is going to be running. Apparently, it is already part of the game and all preview copies that people have for PC already have it in place. So what their experiencing is what it's going to be anyway.
So for those that are unaware, DeNovo is the copyright protection, piracy protection, I should say, is the word I wanted, for PC games. However, it is commonly has a pretty nasty impact on the performance.
It's very resource hungry, yeah.
Yeah. So to have it be catered for in all the preview coverage is kind of rad. But what I was going to say, with Digital Foundry, they put some pretty strong praise onto this game.
Well, they announced the like the minimum required specs, and apparently this bastard's going to run on a 1060. Apparently it's so well optimized that it can run on cards 5 generations old.
Yeah, because like knowing that this world
is... Which gives me hope that my day one PS5 is going to be able to run it okay.
I think it will. Because even then, the footage and everything that we've seen through Digital Foundry, like they commented that it's using the old version of PSSR because the new one is coming out now or in the near future. So look, hopefully it does mean that it can be run on the PS5 pretty well. I do wonder how they could do that, because like one of the other things we found out this week was the size of the map. It is honking. You said it takes 20 hours to walk.
20 hours to walk from one side to the other. I think it takes like 8 hours on a foot mount. It takes like 2 hours via flying mount.
Yeah, as the crow flies or whatever. So I imagine it would have to do some real localized sort of like rendering. You know the old Horizon technique, it's only whatever's in the cone of vision, everything else doesn't exist. Like they'd have to do it that way. They'd have to. Because a world that you try to remember all that stuff at any given time must be insane. But the game does look pretty rad. I am also debating whether it could be a Betson game.
Like, I don't know.
I don't know. It does seem too massive that I'm confident that even if I do jump into it, that I won't finish it.
Yeah, knowing how easily you get sidetracked by shit, you're just going to be like, oh, what's that over there? And it's going to take you 3 hours to walk over there. And then you're like, ah, that wasn't worth it.
Well, because one of the things they talked about in the preview is comparing it to, you know, they have not felt this level of awe and wonder exploring a world since like Red Dead 2. And I'm like, oh no, I spent so much time not doing what I was supposed to and just exploring the world of Red Dead 2. That's a little dangerous for me. But you know, might be kind of cheer. Well, something that can often be dangerous for me, but maybe not this time. New DualSense controllers. Sony has finally released the Hyperpop collection of DualSenses. They and the plates as well. A gradient.
There's a lime green.
Yeah, there's a gradient with a black. Green. There's green, yeah. Red, and blue.
I want the green one.
You did ask me earlier.
Which is hilarious considering how much I hate the fucking marathon lime green that's everywhere.
Well, that's because it's screen and physically in front of you are two very different things. But yeah, because you asked me before we started recording, like, hey, like they're out. You want to grab one? And my answer was no, not because I don't want to, because I quite like the red and black one, but the blue and black one, like, they're all kind of cool. But
being the avid controller collector that you are.
Yeah. The decision was made to only buy controllers that connect to a game, like, rather than just, oh, I like that controller. Try connect it to a memory or an experience or a feeling. Hence, you know, the Death Stranding 2 one, the Ghost of Yotai, pardon me, the Kratos, the 30th anniversary. Like, one that's just a color, excuse me, less interesting to me. I have to make it less interesting to me. But I have an Astrobot controller too as well, of course. And then once again, but that's not just because I liked it. It's because I enjoyed it with my son. And, you know, there's good memories there. And, like, that's what I have to do. So,
yeah.
And seeing that the Hyperpop collection is so connected to Marathon, I don't think I'm going to get that level of emotional connection from Marathon to make me rationalize buying the controller myself.
That's fair.
That's me personally, anyway.
Well, here's another thing that you don't care about. Launching on March 16th, this timed PlayStation 5 exclusive open world action RPG, The Seven Deadly Sins Origin. Beloved anime. Early reports suggest the PS5 version will play best on the platform compared to future multi-platform releases. So currently it is timed exclusive. It is coming out. And it's the one anime I kind of didn't really give two shits about.
So, you've thrown this in the list for a reason. Obviously, being part of it because it's, you know, anime games are fucking huge right now. A little bit of exclusiveness, like, because you're a fan of the anime, though, right?
Oh, I have watched part of it. Seven Deadly Sins is a very weird structured anime, in my opinion. They've got one of those, and I could be wrong here, but it feels like they've got one of those fucking timeline correction nonsense where they kind of go back and try and do it again, and now they've got their children. And I watched the first original bit that was on Netflix, and it didn't really do anything for me. And I have not continued with all its other spin-offs and the Boruto to the Naruto and the and all that jazz. Or like when Dragon Ball Z GT, Dragon Ball GT went, hey, we're just going to do a whole thing that's not fucking canon at all. Who gives a shit? We're doing it for the lols.
Yeah, but I felt like they didn't tell that till later. I'm trying to make sense of it at the time. Or you know, it was also...
They're like, hey, remember that one time we turned Goku into a kid? We're going to do it again. Dragon Ball Z Daima.
Yeah.
But everyone's a kid now. I know it's confusing sometimes.
But it's interesting because it does demonstrate, you know, Sony's continued commitment to, you know, obviously a Japanese brand, right? But they're still happy to support those things, knowing full well that anime games don't ever really come to Microsoft. They tried in the past, but to no major success. The Switch is great, and everyone loves the Switch, but, you know, it is noticeably less powerful. So, like, if you wanted to make it, you know, a bit of a honker, but even then you'd put it on the PlayStation. But even then, with Sony's ownership of, like, was it Funimation and Crunchyroll and all that, like, it just makes sense. It's where the people are at. Let's see. Speaking of them Weeby style games. Oh, hang on. There we go. Following disappointing sales of timed exclusives like Final Fantasy 16 and Final Fantasy 7 Rebirth, Square Enix is choosing to shift away from PlayStation first strategies. The publisher is now skipping the PS5 with some titles entirely, signaling a major industry trend change. What games are being skipped, dude?
This is Bravely Default Flying Fairy HD. Mm. So I believe it launched on, it was a Switch 2 launch title. It is now available on Xbox.
Mm.
It's just apparently not on PlayStation.
It does seem to be some beef. Let's put it out there. I think there's beef. Which is a shame, because, like, you know, I know that, like, I understand there's a bit of backlash, but when they, I can't remember the exact numbers, but I remember when they did finally release Final Fantasy 15, no, 16 on Xbox, it sold like 60,000 copies or something. So it's like barely negligible. Like, I would argue that, yeah, they should maybe step away from PlayStation exclusives and, like, you know, do Switch. Because, like, Switch is the second biggest space for JRPGs.
Just launch your shit everywhere.
Or that too, I suppose. But if, like, the reason people make these deals is because cash, right?
Cause, yeah, of course.
Because money. And PlayStation were willing to invest that money, and they would have seen a good return. But I guess, I don't know. No return is big enough, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. What's your thoughts? You're more attuned to the Final Fantasy things.
It's. I mean, for the longest time, PlayStation and Square have had what appears to be like a pretty good partnership, and it makes sense for Square to now kind of hit that multi-platform stride. I mean, everyone's doing it these days apart from PlayStation, realistically.
Mm-hmm.
Nintendo, I don't really count because they have always done their own shit, will always do their own shit, and can get away with it. Mm. But in the bigger market, like, realistically, they kind of do have to release their stuff everywhere.
Yeah.
If they want to even stand a chance, because despite the fact that the console wars have probably been dead for quite some time now, people who buy and play on their certain box do kind of still have that, like, brand loyalty and will always stick with them. Like, it's now too late to change.
I can't back out now.
So, yeah, it's just one of those things.
But, all right, we probably skipped that other news piece because we did touch upon it.
Yeah, so I'm gonna go straight to quick bits from here, because that last one doesn't need to be spoken about. We already covered Ghost of Yotai's pretty well. So, quick bits. Intergalactic's alleged new website update has stirred up some hype, but it's being downplayed as not a significant reveal at all. Some people thought it was going to be like this big ARG.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, it's just not. PSVR 2 continues to face challenges. Vertigo Games is releasing the 7th Guest remake as a standard PS5 title without VR.
Yeah. It is, like, we got a review code on through Keymailer this week. It's a drum VR game. Like, I don't, which there's already a game I played on VR called Drums Rock, and it's fine. But the problem that I had with it is that parent, like, kick, you couldn't do kick drums, right? Because you can't match your leg.
Yeah.
In the trailer for this one, I think it's called Drums Rule or something. They had kick, and I was like, "Ooh, hang on." Because even just playing the kick would, even if you just pinch the controller or something, it would feel more realistic than trying to hit a tom as your floor, yeah, as your kick. I haven't jumped into it yet because I've got to then play VR, but I didn't expect to get accepted so quickly. But even, yeah, like, wow, VR sit there, like, the last two times I brought it over to yours for its, you know, court mandated parental shared time, you'd even look at it. Like, most people, yeah, you know.
I played some Demio and that was about it.
Yeah, so, like, it has lost its luster. Like, I'm glad they went back for a second time. And, you know, I was excited by it, but It's very interesting how quickly gamers defaulted back to just the standard way of playing. Like, because, like, it's Vives like and... Yeah, like, everyone stepped away from VR. Like, we thought it was going to be the future. Like, Apple did their eyeglass or whatever the fuck, and...
The Vision Pro is pretty fucking cool, though.
Oh, it is. It was a really cool piece of tech, but it was expensive, and I think the love for VR or...
That's the issue. If you want to play good VR, you kind of have to go all in, and going all in is really expensive because room scale is kind of where it's at. Silent Hill 2 Remake has attracted 5 million players through sales and subscriptions combined.
Brad.
Remedy Entertainment is updating Alan Wake 2 and Control Ultimate Edition for PS5 Pro's advanced upscaling capabilities.
I've reinstalled Control after the State of Play earlier in the
year. Imagine doing the maze with that beautiful PS5 Pro honkiness.
And Alan Wake is still not uninstalled. It's still installed on the PlayStation because I would like to finish it. Maybe that's it. Maybe that's what I got to do. Maybe that's when I finally get this PS5 Pro that I talk about each and every week, this mythical PS5 Pro, and then I play some games on it that are no different. One day.
Europe's PEGI organization is implementing stricter age restrictions on modern gaming mechanics.
A bit more info on that?
I actually didn't look too deep into it. I just was like, oh, that seems interesting.
It's interesting that it kind of
follows on with like Australia's age rating thing, because a lot of us are going to be blocked out of playing fucking GTA Online. We're going to have to verify our age to play GTA Online.
Yeah. No one's been able to watch porno for 2 weeks, too. It's brutal.
Oh, dude, having the hub and all its like affiliates blocked, it's just been like, that's just crazy. Everyone's
and
complaining
inconvenient.
About it. It's fucking hilarious. Inconvenient.
OnlyFans, I imagine, has skyrocketed.
OnlyFans. Everyone's
rather than give over their ID, they're like, I'll just pay some person, I guess.
No, everyone's going to that Reddit.
Oh yeah, because I guess Reddit, like Tumblr, years before it, full of porno.
Just hitting up that 4chan.
Ew, 4chan porno. But it's interesting when they're going around mechanics. So my assumption.
Maybe they're gonna follow Australia and be like, any drug use in video games are like a big no-no.
Either that or like microtransactions or AI or like, you know, I think that's kind of where they're going.
Probably gonna be like a loot box nonsense thing.
Yeah.
PS6's rumored portable device could be in players' hands as early as 2027.
You know what? Maybe I won't get a PS5 Pro because I also want to buy that.
And we've spoken about this a few times in the past, but Sony is exploring VTuber collaborations to boost PlayStation 5 interest in Japan because nothing sells units like VTubing.
Well, I know it's a very, it's you know, a much more Eastern thing, but I don't understand and or watch VTubers and get it. So like for me,
well, the thing is, a lot of the YouTube or like streamers that I watch, I put on as background noise and tend to not actually watch the stream but just listen. So they could be VTubers, I'd never know. I don't think they are, but like I would never know.
Yeah. I go...
Should we VTube? Should we virtualize ourselves? Corner another niche?
we just have a second... We just run this through an AI and then it makes us into anime people and then whatever.
We can do the VTube. We can furry ourselves up.
No, let's just make ourselves into fucking Toasty Peanuts or whatever. That seems to be the new thing, the new hotness.
What is that?
Haven't you seen it? There's this fucking...
I'm old, aren't I?
There's this Twitch guy. His name is Burnt Peanut or something. He got nominated for like best streamer or whatever at the Game Awards. And it's literally just a peanut with like a shitty fucking. It looks like one of those crappy filters that you would get on
like the fucking. What was it? The Angry Orange?
No, they do it better. The Annoying Orange was done better. You know when you do like a Facebook video call with someone and there's those filters?
And it just does your eyes and mouth?
Yep, it's exactly that on a peanut with a parasol hat and a lollipop. Sometimes it has a cowboy hat. Well, that's a different one. I don't know. So maybe the success of that. I And look, it doesn't help that in the world of AI, you can just VTube and have them look like a real person. But I don't give a flying fuck about the games that are being played. If I'm watching a Twitch streamer, I'm watching it because of the person. And, you know, because it's what I hope people do with us, right? Because anyone can get their fucking gaming news.
And because of the hub shut down and you need to get some bikini and bathtub.
Yeah. I want real titty on my Twitch streams. I don't want no fake titty.
You gotta get a kick for that.
Yeah, oh, true. No, but for me, it's the people, right? It's why, like, in all the layouts we've ever done, is like I balance it, but you know, there's nothing overlaying each other. It's all clean. So if you want to watch the game, you can watch the game. If you want to watch the person, you watch the person, and it doesn't cover each other, right? But I don't know. I think it's just one of those other signs that I'm getting old. I'm old.
I saw a thing today. What was it? Hang on. Let me just break all faux pas and look at my phone real quick. Shit, I have the wrong one. What was it?
Burnt peanut.
Please tell me I took the fucking screenshot on this phone and not my other phone. It looks like it was my other phone. It was basically like, you know, 1954 is closer to 1990 than what 2026 is to 2000. I'm just like, oh my God, I'm so old.
Oh.
It's like people now can check if you're overage real quick, because if your birth year starts with a one, they're like, yeah, you're fucking old. You don't even need to check any other number. It's like, oh, yeah. No, I can see that one. You're good.
Well, yeah, like the fact that I've now lived...
I know I'm old because I have to fucking scroll down for ages to verify my age.
I have now lived away from my hometown longer than I lived in it. Because I did 18 years in Traralgon, and it's been 18 years since I left, because I'm 36.
Yeah.
Like, oh, that hurts.
That's right, I did the math the other day. I've spent half of my life with my wife.
That's dedication. You're going to spend, well, ideally, the rest of your life with her as well, so... Yeah. I could hope you're enjoying it, but if I could, yeah, fingers crossed, because shit, I can tell you the other side, less fun until you find the next person, and that person's rad. Also, first person's still rad, but next person, rad. Speaking of the next thing, which could also be rad, these are some games that are coming out this week. Max has got an extensive list because he's had some fun. On March the 16th, which is today at time of recording, Grind Survivors, not a porno, PS5. Royal Revolt Survivors, weirdly a porno, PS5. Starship Troopers Ultimate Bug War, PS5. Seven Deadly Sins Origin, also PS5. On March 17th, you get Dread Delusion, PS5, PS4, Flying Aces, Legend of the Red Baron, PS5, the standard edition of MLB The Show 26, the deluxe edition is already out and available, Thomas and Friends, Wonders of Sodor, which the trailer for that game is just the opening of the original TV series, but in the game's engine, pun intended, it looks kind of both uncanny and awesome. As mentioned, these are the games, some of the games that are coming to PS Plus Extra. Warhammer 40k, Space Marine 2, Persona 5 Royal, Madden NFL 26, Blasphemous 2, Metal Eden, which we got COVID and didn't even fuck with. The Lords of the Rings Return to Moria, which is the dwarf building sim.
Survival
sim, which was kind of rad. Astroneer, as well as Tekken Dark Resurrection, which is the PSP version, I believe.
I'm going to play the shit out of Madden NFL. I love just the random Madden games.
Really? Is it that's like baseball?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But not every year. You're like, that's the one that you go in and...
I tend to alternate my yearly games between EAFC, NBA, and Madden, depending on what is tickling my fancy at the time.
Have you ever fucked with Blood Bowl?
No.
Blood Bowl's fun,
I would be right up my alley, too, because it's like an RPG.
Well, because that's what, like, once someone explained to me that NFL is just chess, people running at each other, I was like, holy fuck, it is just chess, people running at each other. So when I played Blood Bowl, like, in person, like, which is the Warhammer turn-based sports game. I was like, oh, shit, I get it. And then they're like, hey, there's a version of it on the consoles. Like, get the fuck out. Yeah, you'd love it. It's so good. March 18th, you get Defending Camelot, PS5, PS4. Hatsune Miku Logic Paint S Plus, PS5. I think my niece will love that game. She asked me to find some whoever Hatsune Miku is once. And I was like, I don't know who the fuck that is. March 19th, Crimson Desert, PS5. Dragonkin The Banished, PS5. Gear Club Unlimited 3, PS5. Rushing Beat X, Return of Brawl Brothers, PS5. The Coin Game, PS5. The Little Tomb, The Mahalava Club, and The Search for a Dead Body, PS5, PS4. It's pretty on the nose. March 20th, Ghostmaster Resurrection, PS5. Rabuto, PS5. And March 21st, King of Tokyo, PS5. That's the board game. You were really excited. You were stoked when you sent that through to me.
Yeah, I love King of Tokyo. Digitizing board games is fun.
It's a good way to play it. Like, I still haven't.
I may pick it up for Hadley.
Oh,
she get kicked.
Ooh, and then you could expand to the physical release afterwards. Because yeah. I never went and did Gloomhaven. I know, like,
I've still got it. I've got it everywhere. I think
it's
I
behind
think it was
you,
a free.
But
think,
yeah.
Yeah, I know. But I think it was like a free game on
PS Plus.
Not yeah, but it was also free on Epic Games Store. It's been free everywhere at some point or another. I kickstarted Gloomhaven, so I had a digital code anyway.
Yeah.
So I own it on Steam and PlayStation and Epic and
everywhere. Yeah. You name it.
Everywhere you can possibly get it, I've got it.
Well, that does bring us to the end of the show. Big thank you to everyone for joining. It's much appreciated. Really kind of you to do so. But yeah, I don't know. I'm crashing real hard. I'm apparently really fucking tired out of nowhere.
I've been yawning for like the last 20 minutes. I've got to go to work.
So let's finish this bad boy up. But yeah, big thank you everyone for joining, watching along. We love it. We appreciate it, taking the time. Max, get us out, Joe, so you can get to work.
All right, everyone. You know the drill. This PlayStation Conversation happens every Tuesday morning at 8 a.m. On podcast services, including Apple Podcasts and Spotify, and 9 a.m. on those YouTubes. If you'd like to take part in future conversations with us, you can come check out our socials, Facebook, Discord, Instagram, X. Those links can be found in the description below.
If you want to join the conversation as it happens, head over to twitch.tv/popcultures. We watch us record this show live, where you can jump in the chat and become part of the show. If you want to support the show, you can tell your friends, tell your family about this PlayStation Pod. If you are listening to us on podcast services, be sure to give us a 5-star rating and a review. Watch us on YouTube, be sure to like, subscribe, and comment below. I endeavor to answer every single comment. And if you want to support us financially, you can at patreon.com/thepopculturists. But until next time, I'm Ryan Betson.
I'm Max Cooper.
And that was For the Players.
Oh, did you see that fucking Fireflies getting animated? An animated series?
Oh, is that what it is?
The crew's getting back together for an animated series.
Yeah. Oh, because I saw all the hype around it over the last couple of weeks. I was like, man, that's pretty cool if it comes back. But animated, makes animated sense. Series. Yeah. Is it like...
They kind of have to. Like fucking Wash died in Serenity.
And they're all really old. I'm all bitching about being old, but fucking hell. He looks fantastic, but Nathan Fillion is...
Oh, he's the oldest rookie.
Ha, 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 ha.